Corinthians chapter number 11. Second Corinthians chapter number 11, we would like to read this morning the first four verses of this chapter. Finding a phrase here in verse number 3 that will be our focus and our text this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. We find here in verse number 3 the phrase, simplicity that is in Christ. The word simplicity here, or if you want to think about the word simple, it means that it is unmixed. It means to be uncomplicated or plain. And so as Paul writes to the Corinthians here, and he speaks to them about this simplicity, he is not merely just saying that it is easy to understand. He's not merely saying that so easy a child could understand it, though it is. He is saying more so that it is not complicated. That the message of Jesus Christ and Christ himself is not complex. It is not something where you must have a doctorate or you must have some kind of learning in order to understand it. To understand something like Newton's third law of thermodynamics, you need a certain degree of understanding, study and research in order to get that. There are different moving parts, complexities to that kind of understanding, to that kind of knowledge. Paul is saying here that Christ is simple. That Christ is plain. That he is unmixed. It is that he is singular without complication. There's an honesty and sincerity that makes the message of the gospel of Christ a very simple thing. And we pray that this morning, this message will follow suit. That this message will also be simple as well. Unmixed, uncomplicated, and plain. We dare not mix the message and hope of Christ with our vain ideas. We dare not complicate the gospel by adding to or taking away from its wonderful message. We dare not convolute salvation by putting ourselves before the cross. That is not our purpose in anything that we ever do. When you look at religion today, you'll find that it is very complex, very convoluted. It is very muddied. It is very complex, mixed up with a bunch of different ideas, with a bunch of different teachings or false ideas that come from the product of the knowledge or from the putting forth of false prophets, false teachers. But the simplicity that is in Christ is reflected in the book that we have before us this morning. And that's why you're here. You're here this morning not to hear a man. You're drawn in to this assembly today not because of who I am or because of who this church is, but you are drawn in to this place this morning because of the book that is before us. Because you know that this is a place where you are the recipient of truth. Truth. And that is what we have before us in this book. The wonderful thing about the simplicity that is in Christ is that you read this book, you believe this book, Don't complicate it. Don't complicate it. Don't make it have all the moving parts and intricacies and different ideas and well this and all that kind of thing. Let us think this morning about the simplicity of Christ. We notice here in verse number 4 that Paul warns of the methods and means that others use to beguile, that others use to deceive, that others use to confuse. Satan is today not trying to eliminate the gospel of Christ. He failed at that when he didn't prevent Christ from reaching the cross of Calvary. That had been his goal up until that time. But once that happened, he has not since been trying to eliminate the gospel of Christ. Instead, he has been trying to convolute it. He has been trying to mix it, to muddy it, and to water it down. And he has been utterly successful in that task in our world today. But you don't have to worry about that this morning. You didn't come to a place where you'll find convolution and complexity. You didn't come to a place where you will find human wisdom in education and in ingenuity put before you. But you've come to a place this morning where the Word of God will be lifted up in its simplicity. And if you argue with that, if you fail to understand that, if you fail to believe that, that is between you and God. The simplicity of Christ is such a wonderful thing because we don't have to have great knowledge or intellect. We don't have to have a great IQ or spend years and years and years becoming doctors of law or doctors of understanding in order to believe what is written here. But in verse number 4, Paul says, "For if he cometh," or "if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus." People are out there preaching other Jesuses today who are not saviors, who are not messiahs, who are not deliverers. They are out there preaching today, as Paul says in verse 4, another spirit. Instead of the Spirit of Christ, they are preaching the spirit of Satan, disguised as Christ. And they are preaching, as he says here at the end of verse number 4, another gospel. Another gospel. Other than the one that is presented in this book. The simplicity that is here is the greatest thing about the Bible, that is, about Christ. There is no other gospel. There is no other Jesus. There is no other spirit. Let us not add to or take away from. But let us simply see this morning the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. I want you to think this morning about simple truth. Simple truth about salvation. And it is our desire to present it in its simplest form as we find it here in the Word of God. For this book speaks of the simplicity of Jesus Christ. This book is 100% infallible truth. For a person to receive anything from this book, you have to come at it without understanding. I hope that you, by drawing in to this assembly this morning, have that understanding and that mentality. With that in mind, don't take my word for it. Don't believe what I say because I have said it. Don't believe a man's opinion or what he puts forth as fact. But instead, believe the very words of God. That is what we ask of you this morning, and that is simple truth. Simple truth of salvation. Turn over with me to Mark chapter 1. Leaving the convolutions and complications of modern religion behind that involve so many works and in different ideas and different things that it is hard to know what is right and what is wrong in the world and in religion. I'll grant you that. That is true. But we're not asking you to weigh all of those things this morning. Simply take your King James Bible and read the verses with us this morning. And understand what it, what God, what Jesus Christ has to say about salvation. We find here in Mark chapter 1 Beginning in verse number 14, Jesus Christ at the beginning of his ministry. He comes forth preaching a message that would continue throughout his ministry and has been the refrain in churches and pulpits since that time. Here is the simple truth from Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse number 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, these are the words of Christ. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, believe the gospel. This is the message of Jesus Christ. These are not words that man has penned. These are not words that have merely fell off the lips of a stammering tongue. These are not merely the ideas or the notions of the latest and greatest movement in religion, but these are the very words of Jesus Christ himself. This is the simple truth as presented from Christ. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Simple truth concerning salvation here is the need for repentance. The need for repentance. This is not, again, our opinion or our invention, but this is the very word of Christ to you today. Simply put, repent. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. To repent means to turn from sin and to turn to God. It means to have godly sorrow over sin and in turning to God asking forgiveness because of that sin, that sinful nature. Reminded me of the publican in Luke 18, verse 13, who wouldn't so much as lift his eyes up to heaven. He smote his breast and he said unto God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. There is a man who was repenting. There is a man who was following the instruction and command of Jesus Christ. Simple truth concerning salvation. Repent. To repent means to turn from. It means to have godly sorrow over sin. It means to ask forgiveness for that sin unto God. Salvation cannot take place. Eternal life cannot come if that is not done. That is why Christ began preaching that message at the beginning of his ministry. He continued it through the course of it, and it has been the refrain of Baptist churches ever since the founding of the church at Jerusalem. And it is still the simple truth about salvation today. You must repent. You must repent. Not only to repent, but understand the simple truth is that all men everywhere must needs repent of their sin. Acts chapter 17, if you will. We see this message continued into the first church here in Jerusalem and then spread further to the other churches as they came from the church at Jerusalem. And here in the book of Acts, as Luke records the history of those churches in the first century, we see this message continues. Acts chapter 17, in verse number 30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth. That is, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God has commanded his eternal decree. All men everywhere need to repent. Does that include you this morning? Sure it does. Does that include people that you know, people that you love? Does that include all other people? Yes, it does. It includes everyone in the sound of our voice this morning. All men everywhere need to repent. That is the command of God. And you might be sitting there thinking this morning, this simple truth, it's got to be more complicated than that. I'll tell you that it's deeper than that. There is more to learn, and there's a great deal to grow and understand, but it's not more complicated than that. There's not intricacies that say, well, you have to do it this way and stand over here facing this direction and make sure that you've done this and that you... No. Repent. You may even ask yourself, why? Why is this needed? Well, you look at verse number 31. Why has God commanded all men everywhere to repent? Verse 31, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men that He hath raised Him from the dead, talking about Christ. Why do you need to repent today? You need to repent because God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Secondly, because He has appointed a day when He will judge every man, woman, boy, and girl on the earth. You will stand before Almighty God. And yes, you can learn more about that judgment. It's not complicated. There's more depth. But it's very simple. God will judge. God will judge. You will stand before Him. And so He calls all men everywhere to repent. No additions, no subtractions, no complexities, no buts, no what ifs. It doesn't matter. All men everywhere, from the highest down to the lowest, from the richest to the poorest, from the smartest to the most ignorant, He has called all men to it, and He will judge all men. Therefore, repentance is needed. Because if you go to that judgment without repentance, there is no hope of eternal life. None whatsoever. But then we also see there is a call of repentance if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 9 again. Don't take my word for it. I can get up here and I could talk to you for an hour. And I could cite my own understandings, my own desires, my own thoughts. Wouldn't mean very much. But reading the very words of God in here, in Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 12, the very words of Jesus Christ, once again, they're not to be trifled with. They're not to be underestimated. They're not to be thought that they are the product of an author, but they are the very words of Christ, who is God in the flesh. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 12. But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Notice this part. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He says this is the very purpose for my coming to this earth. And for the ministry of the gospel is to call sinners to repent of that sin, turn from that sin, asking forgiveness of God for that sinful condition, having godly sorrow in their heart, being made right with Him. His purpose is to call sinners to repentance. All mankind is born in sin, and all are in need of repentance. You can't have salvation without it. Don't complicate it. Don't start to say, yeah, but this, yeah, but that. Jesus Christ says He came to call sinners to repentance. Have you heeded that call today? The simplicity in that thought is more than some people can handle. They think, well, there certainly must be more to it than that. I must have to do this. I must have to do that. I must have to keep these rules. I must have to abide by this code. I must have to fill in the blank. Now, Jesus Christ says, I've come to call them to repentance. And He has been calling sinners to repentance all this while. And He's still calling sinners to repentance today. Have you heeded that call? Can you heed that call this morning? Because all have sinned. and come short of the glory of God. Heed this call. It's not complex. That's not to say it's easy on the flesh. That's not to say that your flesh is going to like it very much to be put in the under the constraints of that repentance and to understand the weight of sin and all of that. No, that's very unpleasant to the flesh. But it's not complex. Any complexity added to that is man-made. It is added to, it is taken away from. It is not the words of Christ. And that's what matters. The words of Christ, that He has come to call sinners to repentance. So the simple truth about salvation from the very lips of Christ, first of all, this morning, is repent. Repent of your sin. Realize, understand that you're a sinner before God. Fall on your knees. Humble yourself before Him and cry out to God and ask Him for forgiveness for that sin and that sinful condition you so possess. Then go back with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And again, read the words of Christ here at the beginning of His ministry. This has been the refrain in pulpits since this time. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But Jesus Christ says something else here. Verse 15. Jesus had come preaching and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent and believe. This is the simplicity of Christ in salvation. He says, for us to see the kingdom of God, we must be born again. He said that in John 3 to Nicodemus. But He says here, in even plainer language, you must repent and believe the gospel. That really is all there is to it. That is all there is to it. Satan, since that time, has been using man in his artful, cunning craftiness to add to make himself important, to build up ministries and mega churches and all those kinds of things. All Jesus Christ said about it was repent and believe the gospel. That's where salvation's at today. Repent and believe the gospel because the kingdom of God is at hand, which is simply referring to the day of salvation or opportunity for eternal life is right now. It is at hand. It is here. He says, now is the time for you to repent of your sin and believe the gospel. So the second part to this message presented by Christ is to simply believe. These are the very words of Christ in their simplest form, straight from His lips to your ears here today. You don't believe me? You can read them, as we have already done this morning. Christ calls upon men to believe the gospel. To believe means to trust by faith that a certain thing is so. In this context, it means that one is utterly convinced of the message of the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for sin. See it? Believe the message of the gospel. To trust by faith that the gospel is real, that it applies to me, in that Christ died, was buried, and rose again for my sin. That's what believing's about. It's not a mental assent to the fact that, yes, these things probably happened. You can get that from a history textbook. That's no big thing. Not too many people deny that Christ actually lived. But to believe, this is a spiritual endeavor. It takes faith to believe in the message of the gospel means that you're utterly convinced of His death, burial, and resurrection, and that it was for you. That's as simple as it gets. Without complicating or convoluting it today, how does that sit with you? Where's it at with you? Do you utterly believe and have been convinced that it is and does apply to you in your heart, in your life? Have you believed it by faith? Because just as He calls on all men everywhere to repent, all men must believe or face the second death. Look at John chapter 8. Again, the words of Christ. Don't take my word for it. We desire never to say anything to you that is not directly from Scripture, from the Word of God, and backed up by the truth. And here again, the very words of Christ, John 8, verse 24. Talk about simple. Talk about not pulling punches or trying to, you know, use flowery language that would, you know, trick people. That's not what Christ was about. That's not the message. The simplicity of the gospel here in verse 24, the words of Christ, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. How simple is that? So Christ says to you this morning through the Spirit, if you fail to believe the gospel as He has instructed, you will die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, the truth is that hell awaits. And the second death, which is separation from God for eternity. Separation from God for eternity. Faith is an integral part of salvation. If a person does not believe that Christ is, they don't believe in His death, burial, and resurrection, there can be no salvation. There can be no eternal life, no matter how much you come to church, no matter how well you dress on Sunday morning, no matter how good you intend to live your life, no matter how many hoops you jump through, no matter how much you learn about religion, none of that. Christ says, repent and believe. Without that, there can be no salvation. This is the simple truth of Scripture, the simple words of Christ Himself. So that means this morning there is a call of faith issued to all. What did Paul tell the Philippian jailer? Look over at Acts 16. I believe it's so wonderful to see Christ say, repent and believe in the gospel, and then see the churches here in Acts and on further, the writings of Paul, reflect that message. Continue to take forth that message as we do today. Acts chapter 16. We find here in verse number 30, Philippian jailer, after the great earthquake had happened and he had been convicted, in verse 30, says, and brought them out and said, this is Paul and Silas whom he is speaking to, the Philippian jailer, sirs, what must I do to be saved? A simple, straightforward question he needed to know. He needed to know what needed to happen. What were the parts of this? And so, in verse number 31, the answer, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. One sentence. One verse. Doesn't get any more simple than that, does it? What must I do to be saved? Believe on Jesus Christ. Be utterly convinced of who He is and what He's done. And that all of that has been done for you. That is the simple truth of believing. The call of faith is for you to believe, to be utterly convinced of and possess the knowledge of the gospel of Christ. It means His death, burial, and resurrection being on your behalf. It means Him carrying away your sins and delivering unto you eternal life. That's where it's at today. And really, whether or not you ever learn the rest of what is contained in this book, whether or not you ever understand the depths of grace or church or the other things that are here is irrelevant. It really is. If you come to this age, you believe and repent, that eternal life, it's a wonderful gift that will never be taken away. And I believe once you have it, you'll want to know all the rest that there is. But salvation doesn't come as a product of knowledge and understanding. It doesn't come as a product of wisdom and growth. It comes from repentance and faith. Repentance and faith is where it is at. It doesn't get any less complex than this. So many men, so many ministries, so many churches have set themselves up. You want salvation? Come through us. Come to us. Come by us. Understand this, that you can't get anywhere else is what takes you to heaven. Religion has been preaching that message for a long time. Satan has convoluted and made complex. I'm here to tell you today, you don't need me. You don't need this church. What you need is to repent of your sins. Believe and trust in Christ. That's what you need. It's that simple. Have you done that today? Can you do that today? Can you hear this message, not just with your physical ear, but with your spiritual one? Let's close in John chapter 14. As I thought about the simple truth as presented by Christ Himself, I could think of no greater verse. And it is one of my favorites and one that we like to quote many times. But as you're listening to this, as you're thinking about it, can it get any less complex than this? Jesus Christ here in John 14 in verse number 6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Simple. Jesus Christ saying Himself. If you want salvation, if you want a relationship with God, if you want to be in heaven forever, if you want to be right with God, you got to come through me. There's no other way. It's that simple. Come through Christ. Believe. Trust. Repent. Could there be any confusion concerning this only if we add to it or take away from it? There is no other gospel. The simple truth is that all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. You need to repent and you need to believe because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. Be part of that kingdom. The only way you can is to be born again through faith and trust. Simplicity of salvation marvels us today because it is the greatest gift God has given to man. It is the greatest thing you'll ever experience. And it is the simplest thing that you will ever, ever do in your life. It will be so amazing you can't even explain it afterwards. Many years later, still reflecting upon it, hard to put into words. But the act of salvation is a very simple one. It's not of us, it's of Him. Repent and believe. Let's stand and let's go to the